All right, are you ready? Gonna just re-preach probably the same thing you're hearing everywhere else. I've been hearing it all over. Heard it from Pastor Mark. Joe had sent me a message from Ken Christmas, two, 3 weeks ago. Everybody's preaching the same thing right now. You know why? Because it's what's in the water. It's what's God's saying. So I'm not going to re-preach their message, but it's all just going to be in the same line. I believe it's what the Lord's doing this hour. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, most of you probably don't even need to turn there. You can quote it by heart. But I think I'd like you to see it. Now, I'm going to read from the New Living for no other reason than you probably just don't hear it out of this translation very often. It says this, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. Some years ago, Bev and I were in Cancun. The company that I worked for, you know, it was really cool. They were just predisposed to me. They every year had a meeting in Mexico or outside the country somewhere. Well, this year it was in Cancun. And they invited Bev and I to come out and just enjoy the time together as a thank you for my years of service to the company. And so we're staying at one of these all-inclusive hotels, and we were pretty high up. They put us on one of the higher floors. I'm looking out the balcony window over the beach, and I'm looking down along the coast, along the peninsula. Can you bring up that first slide? The first slide, it's the only slide. It's beautiful. Water's blue. And just a little bit inland, right, from the ocean, they have all of their swimming pools and everything. And I remember standing on that balcony and looking out over this view and thinking, that is the epitome of faith. What you see there is faith in action. Who in their right mind would build multi-million dollar structures on sand? And it's not just sand. Look how close they are to the ocean. Does anybody look at that and go, yep, that seems good to me? Y'all know it's not sunny and 75 there all the time, right? It does rain there. Wind blows from time to time. They've been known to have hurricanes and fairly catastrophic events. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't build there. So I'm standing there on this balcony just thinking, that's crazy. And the Lord speaks to me. Job 38 comes to mind. I want to read verses 8 through 11 for you. And these are, of course, rhetorical questions. God speaking to Job. God says this. He says, who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. Do you understand the ocean has doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you can come, here is where your proud waves will halt. Do you understand? There's a limit. There's a limit. And the thing is, don't let them fool you. Rich people understand this. People who build there, they understand this. They're all busy telling you about the oceans rising and then everything's going to be underwater, and yet they're still building multi-million dollar hotels on coasts. They wouldn't be buying them and building them if they thought that they were going to be underwater. Here's what they know. They know the waters will always, always have to revert back to their boundaries. They have to. They are bound by the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean the waters can't come. It doesn't mean that they can't rise and rage. It doesn't mean they can't overshoot the boundaries. but they can't stay there. They will always revert back to the limits placed on them. The Word of God requires it. They have no choice. They have to revert to the limits placed on them. Let's pray. Father, help me today to share your word with your people. And Father, help me today to bring encouragement to them. Father, I pray that you would give us, as your people, eyes to see and ears to hear, that we may know what the Spirit's saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. So, with this picture in mind, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 59. Now, I need to preface this because this is one of the most controversial passages in all of Isaiah. Actually, I think I'm going to start in verse 18. And I'm going to read out of the New King James specifically. And if you're following along in your Bible, you'll see why, because yours will read just a little bit different. Quite likely. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against him. Now, I say this passage is controversial, and that's because the language in the Hebrew isn't super clear. It's one of those things that works around the context of the language, right? And that's why I read it from the King James. See, some of the translations feel that the passage is saying that it's the enemy that comes in. And when the enemy comes in, then God comes in like a flood as a response. Other translations, like the New King James we just read, they say when the enemy comes in like a flood, then God raises up a standard. So it's kind of hard to tell from the language whether God's the flood that comes against the enemy or whether the enemy's coming in like a flood. And the truth is, does it really matter? I don't know it really matters. But theologians like to argue these things. I tend to lean toward the latter. That's why I read it out of the New King James. I tend to feel like it's the enemy that comes in like a flood. And the reason is, that's the way I've always known the enemy. When he comes in, look, there's times he comes to trouble me. He comes to discourage me. He gives me a little flick on the ear and just generally annoys me. And then there's other times when he comes at me with both barrels. He comes in and he hasn't come to spar. Hasn't come to check me out. He has come for blood. When he comes like this, it's like a flood. When he comes like this, I recognize that he has come to overwhelm me. And over the last few weeks, I've noticed this in a lot of people. I've heard it and seen it in what's going on in their lives. The enemy has come at them like a flood. There seems to be no escape. There seems to be no path up for air. He's not interesting in sparring. He's not interesting in anything. He's come to destroy. And he is relentless on all fronts. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been in the ocean and felt one of those undertows and it just sucks you down. It's like, what happened? And the harder you swim, the farther down you seem to get sucked and you just can't seem to break free. This is the picture that you find in Isaiah. And that's why I lean toward the King James translation. The enemy, when he comes in, sometimes it is like an overwhelming flood, and there just doesn't seem to be any way out. But again, I want to remind you, God has set these boundaries, right? The waves don't get to do what they want. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22. You're going to see the same kind of thing here. God speaking. He says, "Do you not fear me?" declares the Lord. "Do you not tremble before me? The one who set the sand as the boundary for the sea, an enduring barrier it cannot cross. The waves surge, but they cannot prevail. They roar, but they cannot cross it." I don't know if you... have you ever just sat and looked at the ocean and wondered? It does. It flows in. It flows out. And the moon comes up and it might flow in a little farther, but it flows right back out again. Sometimes when tsunamis come, they flow a long ways in, but they still have to flow back out. Picture the globe and all of this water sloshing about. It's almost defies logic. That much water sloshing about back and forth and yet remains bound by God's word. That's a bizarre thing to even consider. And yet men and women build their hotels because they know the boundaries are respected. What I want you to see today, guys, there's a lot of different ways different people are taking this, different pastors and teachers and all that. I just want you to see this. The enemy is a lot like the sea. Lot like the sea. He rages and he roars and he makes a lot of noise, but he is bound by very specific limitations. God has placed limitations on him. When we read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, Paul talking about the armor of God, and he says, "When the evil day comes," he doesn't say if, he says, "When the evil day comes." We just read it in Isaiah. He didn't say, if the enemy comes in like a flood. He says, when. You have to understand, that's his nature. But see, we as believers, we need to expect these times. We shouldn't be surprised by them. We shouldn't be caught off guard by them. One of the greatest evils ever perpetrated on the church, I believe, is this idea that when you come to Christ, you'll never face trouble again. You come to Jesus, everything gets good. Devil won't attack you anymore. Oh, no. Actually, you're now trouble to him. Before, you weren't. You might actually expect more trouble. It's just not true, and I'm sorry for those who told you that that's what was going to happen, because it's just not true. But here's what is true. The enemy, just like the seas, just like the oceans, is bound by the framework of God's word. There are times when the oceans rage and they just blow past the shores, tear everything up. But they must. They are obligated. They have no choice but to revert back to their boundaries. I don't know if you've ever seen a tsunami on video. If you haven't, it's worth Googling. It's worth seeing it. See, what happens is, in a moment, the ocean just completely retreats back into the depths. It just goes way back, like miles out. By the way, if you happen to see that, you need to be in motion at that point, right? Don't wait to see what's coming. You need to be on the way to higher ground. See, what's about to happen is the sea is going to break out of its containment. It's pulling all the way back. Something underneath is shifted. There's a buckling somewhere that's shifted. And it sucks in and it is going to violently break out of its container. It's powerful. It's messy. Buildings will be destroyed. And if it's strong enough, even mountains can be moved. It doesn't matter what happens. Because even once it breaks all the way out, it still must revert back to its container. It is required to observe the boundaries God has placed on it. The waves can't do as they please, and this might come as a surprise to you, but the devil can't do as he pleases either. He is bound by the framework of God's word. So you're also going to find times in your life where the enemy breaks out. He moves past his boundaries, and he does so with great force. And it gets messy. But here's the thing. I just want you to know this. He can't stay there long. Just can't stay there any real length of time. He has to revert back to the boundaries. For those of you who are facing an onslaught of the enemy right now, who are going, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Just know this. It can't last. It can't last. The enemy has overstepped and he will be forced back to his allotted domain. And here's something else I've just learned over the years. This isn't my first rodeo either. Your enemy tends to make the loudest noise. He tends to roar the loudest and bring the greatest amount of fear and cause you the most amount of pain at the maximum extension of breakout. Let me try to explain what I mean by that. Think again about the tsunami, and it breaks through the boundaries, and it begins to come inland, and it may come 3, 4, 5, 10 miles inland. But there's a point. There's a point. It just has no more strength to come any further inland. That's its maximum point. It's its zenith. This is the limit of how far it can come in. It's at the zenith when the enemy makes the most noise. It's where he causes the most trouble. It's where you start to feel the greatest pressure. Just know that at that point, his retreat is imminent. He can't stay there. Luke chapter 4, you will find the temptation of Christ. And again, for the uninitiated, the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness, Jesus. Really? God did that? Yeah. God led him into the wilderness to be tested and tempted. You know the account. Satan would challenge Jesus with some very specific words. If you are the Son of God, that's what he kept saying. If you are the Son of God, if this is really true, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. If you are the Son of God. These are provocative words. He's challenging Jesus. But Jesus would pass the test. And then in Luke 4, verse 13, the Bible says this. It says, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus, until an opportune time. I want you to consider that a minute. See, he wasn't at the zenith yet. He hadn't come all the way inland yet. He had just started. He was going to wait for the zenith. That's when he was going to come back. You know when you read those words again? If you are the Son of God, the very next time you read those words, you'll find Jesus on the cross. If you are the Son of God, Matthew chapter 27, verse 39. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and then we will believe in him. Friends, Jesus had been tested in every way, just as is common to all men. But he remained without sin. And that's what makes him such a great high priest for us. He knows and he understands our trouble. He's been through the trials. And there's lots of ways that we can... I could take this information I'm sharing with you today. There's lots of conclusions I could draw, or directions we could try to go, but the simplest one is this. I just want you to understand But once you recognize the zenith of the onslaught, the peak of the trouble's over. From this point in time, Jesus suffered no further trouble. In fact, it was done. You can rest assured, once the zenith has been reached, that he will revert. Your enemy will revert back to his boundaries. And that reversion is close at hand. He simply can't stay extended. He can't stay out in that place where he's not allowed any length of time. He does go there, but he's always forced back. You know, as I was pondering on all this, I was thinking, even Noah's flood. You know, God brought a flood. Brought a flood. And you know, even the flood had limits on it. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the animals and livestock that were in the ark, and God sent a wind over the earth, and the waters began to subside. The springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heaven were closed, and the rain from the sky was restrained, and the waters receded steadily from the earth. And after 150 days, the water had gone down. On the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters continued to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, the top of the mountains became visible. The waters cannot stay overextended. Your enemy cannot stay overextended. When the enemy comes in like a flood, just know this, he's overextended. He's outside of his parameters. His time is limited because the Lord has raised up a standard. I've only got a couple minutes left, but I want to show you one other important thing. And all I can tell you is if you got ears, then hear. One other important thing about the enemy's attack like this, when he comes in like a flood, one of the key things that you're going to notice, he has moved into the natural realm. He's waging his battle in the natural realm. If we are in a spiritual battle, if we attack in the spiritual, if our weapons are powerful in the spiritual, and he has moved into the natural, he's not in a good spot. He's slipped into the wrong place. And you know what I mean by the natural, right? He's you have to understand. See, there's times when he comes to spar. He might attack health, or he might attack finances, or he might attack, you know, marriages, or what you know, that's just the stuff he does. But in this, when he's come in like a flood, he is overextended and he has moved into the natural to attack you. I'm just telling you, he's in the wrong realm. What does it mean if this is a spiritual battle and my enemy is shifted into the natural? Who is at the disadvantage now? Again, if you got ears, that's all I can say. For those of you who understand what I'm talking about, for heaven's sake, don't follow him back into the natural. Your weapons aren't strong there either. You get it, right?
Yeah.
Just stay put. See, when I fight from the realm of the Spirit, I'm fighting in a place where I'm strong and where my weapons are strong and where my warfare is keen, amazing. It's where everything is powerful. If he wants to traverse out there, let him go. Don't follow him. If time's racing, I'm going to close with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. The writer encourages us with this. He says, "Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord." See, what happens is the enemy wants you to just give up. I've told you 1,000 times and 1,000 times more. How do you lose? There's only one way to lose.
Quit.
Quit. It's the only way you can lose. Just stop. Walk off the field. Don't throw away the confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. I put this in the letter last night. Here's where I stole it from. Plagiarized right out of the book. You understand? Everybody's going, oh, I need more faith. I need more. No, you just need endurance. That's all you need. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. That's us, guys. And we live by faith. I don't walk by what I see. See, because the problem is the devil has a tendency to lie and put up all these smoke screens that aren't even true. If you've ever considered fear, do you understand that fear itself is not real? Fear is not real. I'm not being esoteric. Danger is real. Fear is something that hasn't yet happened. And it's painful. And it's tiring. And it'll wear you out and it'll wear you down. But it's not really a thing. It's just something you're willing to follow Him into. Stay put. Stay in the spirit realm. And my righteous ones will live by faith. And I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Now in verse 39. But we are not like those who turn away. We're not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones who will be saved. Friends, you don't need more faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you ever seen one of them things? They're itty bitty. You don't need a lot of faith. You don't need more faith. What you need now is patient endurance. Patient, and I am not going to quit. You will not win. Yeah, you've come in like a flood and muddied my boots all up, but guess what? You have to go back where you came from. And I'll wash my boots later. You get what I'm telling you? He can't stay extended forever. He cannot. This is why you must learn endurance. Outlast Him. When He comes in and fights in this realm, He is weak. Don't engage Him there. Soon enough, the waters will recede as God raises up the standard and puts Him back in His place. He has always been on a chain. Sometimes people ask me, sorry, I'm going to just get all fired up here. Satan's defeated at the cross. Defeated. And Jesus says afterwards, He says, all authority has been given to me. This isn't His world anymore. Now, He's still the guy who's squatting here, right? But if you check the end of the book, He gets kicked out. The Lord's going to take back what belongs to Him. So why leave the devil here? I mean, come on. He's defeated. He's done. It's all over. Do you understand that God intends His overcoming son to have an overcoming bride? I don't know why. That's just what He's looking for. The bride of Christ will be a warring bride. She will be familiar with engagement in battle. She won't back down. She won't give up. She won't quit. But here's the rub. See, God wants you to learn how to do that. But He already told you, you can't fight your enemies. You're supposed to love them. And you can't fight your brother. You're supposed to love them too. Who am I supposed to fight other than my wife? No, not supposed to fight your wife either. Okay, so I'm supposed to learn how to be this great warrior and I got nobody to fight. Oh, wait, I know a guy. And I keep him on a really short leash. You ever heard the phrase new level, new devil? Well, if you haven't, you're probably going to get familiar with it at some point in your life. See, as you stretch out your faith and you become an overcomer and a conqueror, pretty soon you realize the devil seems to be getting stronger. Well, that's because you need a formidable adversary to learn to fight. You understand? God's just using the devil to train his bride. He's just getting used. But you need to not get discouraged in the learning process. You are being formed into the very nature of Christ. You're being formed into the bride. And that's why when you read through James and he says, "Count it pure joy, my brothers," and you just want to slap him upside the head. The truth is, we do count it pure joy. Because what's happening is, I'm learning how to persevere. I am learning how not to quit. I am learning that, you know what, buddy? Ain't nothing you can bring that's going to change my mind. I'm beginning to take a stand. I'm beginning to act like the bride of Christ. So, when the enemy comes in like a flood, just understand God's already raised up a standard. He can't stay long. You need to take your stand. You need to take your stand. And in due season, you will reap. Father, bless this people. Father, help us to take our stand. Help us, Father, to defend our little patch of lentils. Father, help us to recognize that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that he has overstepped, that he is outside of his boundaries, and that his time there is short. Father, I pray that you would encourage my friends here today. I pray, Father, you would build them up and strengthen them. I pray, Father, that by the Spirit, by your Spirit, Father, you would encourage us, give us comfort. I pray, Father, that you would help us to see the truth that's around us. And I pray, Father, that you would begin to raise up that standard in this hour and return the enemy back to his boundaries. In Jesus' name. I bless this people, Father, and I thank you for them. Help us to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.